Heavenly Father, as we open our hearts this morning to your revealed word, we open our hearts to your fullness. Because as we receive the word, we receive you. And in receiving you, we receive wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. And that is the nature of your word. But Father, we know that your word can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit and by revelation and illumination to man's mind. And so, Lord, I thank you this morning that you desire to speak to us. You desire to impart yourself to us. And Lord, we do that now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, I want to continue dealing with the area of faith. And nothing new here this morning. In fact, nothing new to any saint who truly walks with God. Because I want to talk about our doubts this morning. And it's simply dealing with those doubts. Dealing with those doubts. No Christian that walks with God has not had at times an area where they have doubted. And those doubts at times would seem as though they take root. And those doubts seem very real, very logical, very plausible. And sometimes those doubts we actually want to believe, because that then lets me off the hook and I can excuse myself. That is the nature of doubt, and that is why Jesus dealt with it in his ministry as he did. He never entertained it. He had no sympathy with it. He had no mercy with it, because he saw that is the human condition in which Satan works to work his devilish work, if you like, with those doubts. And that is why he constantly showed that with doubts, you have to close its door to doubt. And we soon know when doubt is working, because we begin to question. We begin to actually question God's love, his word. We begin then to take our eyes off the Lord. We look to circumstances. We begin to be aware that peace is not really there as it used to be. And so it's a spiral condition. Now, the understanding of doubt really is uncertainty. It also can be known as disbelief. We open to question. We question God. We question what is revealed. We are unsure. And all of these areas that I've just spoken about are all connected with these emotions which I spoke on last week. And some of you came up last week and you really had received a real deliverance. And I knew God was ministering that, because I was aware how the enemy was tacking. But doubt, disbelief, uncertainty will always minister eventually to the emotions. And the flesh likes emotions. Well, certain emotions. Not the emotion of pain. Pain is an emotion. It is a feeling. But the point is that the flesh will pick it up. And so we have to deal with those doubts. Can you come to a place? Can I come to a place in the Father's heart where I can deal with doubt? Is it possible? Well, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible, and that is why we come week after week. I think at times we have been a little bit nonchalant, been a little bit sort of cavalier with regard to doubt. Well, the Lord will deal with it. And after all saints suffer with that problem, and so on. Well, I think at the end of this meeting, we're going to hopefully see from God's perspective with regard to doubt and the danger of entertaining doubt. Now, to deal with your doubts and unbelief, this hinders you from the one who gave you faith in the first place. And that is why the enemy works and uses those doubts. Because he is going to try to destroy that seed of faith that has been given to you as a gift. And that is why he attacks it. Because that seed of faith is your guarantee that you will make it into the kingdom of God. Without faith, you will not make it into the kingdom of God. And the enemy wants to take as many as he can with him into that lake of fire and brimstone. That is his only way of getting back in full rebellion to God. Is to take as many as he can with him into that lake of fire called hell. And he will work with doubt. Because he knows that that can hinder that faith, that gift of faith. Now we can also raise that question, well, whom God has chosen from eternity won't be damned anyway. And that is theologically absolutely true. But you don't know that, and I don't know that, in my flesh, in this world, in this life. I only know that by my believing in that and my confession of that. But that still doesn't exempt me from vulnerability of doubting. Unless I open myself to the Father's heart, his love, in which he will teach me and show me and help me how to deal with those doubts. And that is why it was the message of faith and the deeper life. To be off your guard with regard to doubting is a crazy thing. And you are mad. You have not fully understood God, his love, his word, the Holy Spirit working in your life. You are crazy to flirt with doubt, to be cavalier with doubt, to not be on your guard. And we have stories packed in the Word of God where God was teaching men and women to deal with doubt, to deal with it at the door. As it starts to knock, as it starts to become attractive, that is where you deal with it straight away. You don't entertain doubts in any way or form. And if you're not sure about that, then I tell you, get back into the faith book that Brother Freeman wrote. Because there he deals with a lot of this. But I'm not going to go into all of that because that is there. We've also taught it over the years and it's on CD. We must settle that a life of faith is not understanding or reason, but a life of simply knowing him. Our life and walk of faith, all it is about is that I may know him. It is not about reasoning. It's not about questioning. It's not about analysing all that education and the world tries to work on you. It is nothing to do with that. It's simply that I might know him and the power of his resurrection may conform in this weak earthen vessel. That is what the Apostle Paul, that great academic, had finally come to in his conclusion. After battling with those doubts, reasoning, questioning, and not to say that he didn't, he did, but he had come to that place that I might simply know him. And that's all it's about. That is why this walk is so simple on one side. A relationship with someone should not be complicated. Our relationship in Christ Jesus should not be complicated. We may have to overcome one another, and very often that's because of past things, the way a person was brought up, or maybe their parents did it that way and they've been influenced that way, whatever it is, and we have to overcome those sort of things. But our love for each other should not be complicated, because it's the same love based on our love for God, that I might know him. And true love and unity and fellowship is that I might know my love, that I might know my brother or sister in the love of Christ. And that love is very simple. It's simply receiving and not trying to mold or change that person into how we think. If we see that things are wrong, we know what to do. We pray, we intercede with the Father's love and heart. But if we intercede and pray in a sort of religious, pharisaical way, that is never going to happen. That person will never change. God won't answer that prayer. When we start to understand what this faith walk is about, that I might simply know him, and not question, and if any doubts come, they stay where they are at the door, then I begin to understand unity and fellowship in the body of Christ. The simplicity of it. And we're therefore then free to embrace whoever God brings in, whoever he baptizes into the body of Christ. We can embrace them with warts and all, whatever the background, because that is where it starts, from that simple understanding that I might know him. God was to teach Abraham that simple walk of faith, that he might know him. And in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, I just want to read this very briefly. And the reason that I use Abraham is because Abraham doubted at times. And God was teaching him what to do with those doubts. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. Now, Abraham, like any saint, was called to move out of his comfort zone. And none of us like it in the flesh. We are comfortable, we feel secure, yet it's the biggest deception and work of the enemy. We actually deceive ourselves, thinking that remaining in my comfort zone, that I will be secure. That is my fortress. For Abraham to be saved, to be redeemed, God had to call him away from his comfort zone. That's the whole irony of it all. And so he called him to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow. How would you like to walk the rest of your life walking and not knowing where you are going? But that is precisely what God has called you and I for. if you want to be part of Full Gospel Assembly. Where is this church going? All I know is it's going to glory. How is it getting there? I haven't a clue. I don't know the journey, but I know that it's getting there. And God is calling us out of our comfort zone. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. You could say the same mind, the same spirit, because they also had received the same promise. Every promise in this church here is the same for every one of us if we love God. You haven't got a different promise to me, and I haven't got a different promise to you. That promise is my inheritance is Jesus Christ and him glorified. That is the inheritance. That is who we are married to, betrothed to. And that is the same for every one of us, these promises. For he waited for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So God called him out of his comfort zone to be a sojourner, that God would reveal to him his true foundation, his true home. And he saw it afar off. You now stand upon it in his church, the rock of Jesus Christ. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so it goes on. And out of that, God said, I will redeem a seed that could not be even counted when you look at the stars in heaven. And that is how we walk. Why did God set those conditions? Because that would deal with doubt. Calling you out of your comfort zone deals with your doubt. Now in the flesh that seems the very opposite. To be called out into a walk that I don't know where I'm going, and that I can't plan, and that I can't see ahead, to me sounds the very thing that is going to open the doors to all doubt. There's the logic. There's the mind working. That's how the world teaches it to you. But that's not how God does it. God says, no, that is precisely how I will deal with those doubts that you still entertain. Hallelujah. And there were times when Abraham doubted. But the secret was staying with it. And that is how doubt is dealt with. Endurance. Staying with it. Yes, you doubted last week. Yes, you failed. So what do? Do you decide that because I doubted last week, because I failed, I'm never going to overcome this? No. God says, you stay with it. I have overcome the world. I have overcome all things. What was Jesus saying there? He says, I have overcome the world. I've overcome its biggest problem. It's doubting. And I have overcome that, Jesus said. So with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, having briefly just spoken about doubt and the nature of doubt, and yes, how the saints doubted and how you have doubted, I have doubted. How does God deal now with these doubts? Where is the provision? Where is the healing going to come? Because remember, God sets in these meetings healing, deliverance, salvation. That is always my confession, my belief, every time we meet, that that is what God sets in the church, and it is what I expect to see from my Heavenly Father. So dealing with these doubts. Well, I've already ended on this part with regard to endurance. But why endurance? Endurance is essential because I am going to doubt until God gets me to a place where those doubts are left at the door and I don't open the door to those doubts. And that is why endurance is essential, and it is part of your deliverance and your healing to endure. Now, of course, endurance is not something that comes easy to any of us. We are not very good at waiting. And so for God to deal with doubt, and he said endurance is one of the important factors of this, he works the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And he works that long-suffering and that patience so that you can wait on God day by day in that endurance as doubt is being dealt with. That is the first area of how he works this deliverance, this change. But he's got to work that endurance. He's got to show you the nature of endurance. He's got to show you why endurance is so important. And so as we yield over to the work of endurance, he then works that within us. And as we begin to experience what endurance does, as we remain with it, stay with it, so we then start to become encouraged. So our faith starts to become quickened. Yes, this does actually work, even though in my flesh I hate waiting for a thing, but it does actually work. That is what God is trying to get your attention to. It does actually work. Amen? Right. Well, if you believe with that, we can move to the second one. And this is dealing immediately with doubts when we recognize it. And sometimes we're not always recognizing immediately doubt. And sometimes we don't recognize it immediately because God has to work a deliverance in you. Some of those areas of doubt are probably ancestral. Our ancestral areas. For example, I may have had a father that, he's a terrible warrior and a lot of anxiety, And so you have been affected by that. And so that anxiety, that fear has rubbed off on you. And it is a door that God has got to close. And so all the while that oppression of fear and anxiety is still oppressing, you are not fully aware in the spirit that doubt that is behind that is oppressing. You're not actually closing the door to it yet because you can't fully see it. You're still locked in, held by your flesh with regard to fear, that anxiety. And so God starts to expose it. He starts to move in. And then we feel when he's moving in, as he moves in to get that deliverance, like he did with Abraham, he brings you out of your comfort zone. And you think, hang on, everything's changing. I don't like this. I used to know of a joy when I used to walk with the Lord in the past. It's like he used to always answer my prayers. He was always so close to me and everything. And it's suddenly now, it's all changed. What's happened? God has said to you, come out from that land and come and follow me. Now you have, in obedience, if you believe God still loves you, even though everything's changed and you don't feel it's like it used to be in the past, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. All he's doing, he's taking you out of that comfort zone that he's allowed you to remain for a season, but he cannot deal with that doubt, he cannot work that deliverance till he gets you out of it. He's got to get you walking by faith. And in those areas where you are held, you ain't walking by faith. It's no good trying to say you are. That's where you have to be honest. But through that honesty and repentance, then when you see you're not walking in that area by faith, then God is going to work deliverance. And that deliverance means when he starts and he moves in, out you come. You have stayed in that corner. You have hid for too long. We're no longer to stay there any longer. I cannot deliver you and heal you in that. Or he could if he wanted to, but he's God. Because God sees an overall work. And so the wrestling comes. But I don't want to leave. Up to you. And there's the long suffering and mercy of God. And so you find in that comfort zone that once was a comfort zone is no longer a comfort zone anymore. Just like the eagle's nest, he starts to move various things from that nest away and it starts to become prickly, you know. And you can't sit and relax like you used to, you know. Cool, this armchair used to be so relaxing. I could fold the arms and go off to sleep beautifully. It's not comfortable anymore. I'm not sleeping like I used to. He's getting your attention. He's saying, you cannot remain in that state anymore. You have to move on. Now, God's opened my eyes to why he does this. This is taking the land. The giants. If we do not move from that comfort zone, then eventually the enemy will devour us. That is why he kept the children of Israel moving in the wilderness. That moving meant that they put the enemy to flight. If you put your roots down in that area, that position, with the enemy around, that is exactly what the enemy wants. Because that is where he can destroy you. Because you put your roots down. So God ain't going to let you put any roots down, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and darknesses, principalities. And so the children of Israel had to keep on the move. They had to move with God during the daytime, with the cloud, and at far by night. That moving, because the enemy was on their tail. Abraham, to be saved, had to move out of that land into an unknown land. He would not have found salvation. The enemy would have defeated him there. And so it is precisely the same. And that is how he works deliverance with you. As he starts to move in, he says, right, now for you to be delivered, to be totally set free, which means that you no longer entertain those doubts anymore, I have to move you out of that comfort zone that's fed that, that's nurtured that. See, that's what it does. And so that's what he does. And this is why a saint is called a sojourner. He or she is simply passing through. This is why the scriptures show us your world, your anchorage, your foundation isn't in this world. Now you're beginning to understand why this is so. And so God then can work this deliverance in you and me. And so when doubt comes and you've come through that deliverance, you've made that step of faith in the unknown, it then tries to come back and say, hang on, I see that. Go in the name of Jesus. Can no longer hold you. There's your deliverance. But before, you couldn't see it that way. You now see it completely differently. Thirdly, dealing with these doubts, regular prayer life can only deal with this. And this is the discipline side. This is the soldier side of walking with Christ. Prayer is essential. A regular, cultivated prayer life is essential. saints who walk with God and who get these deliverances from these doubts, unbelief, questioning, you can guarantee they have a disciplined prayer life. They've allowed the Holy Spirit to work that prayer life in and through them. It's not only a prayer life, but it's meeting with God, these meetings, keeping regular under the word. All of that is important, but it's not enough. If you want doubts dealt with in your life, unbelief, it's not enough just to come to these meetings. It's not even enough just to hear the word of God. It's all part of it. But with that coupled must be a prayer life. It is a prayer life of attitude. It is a prayer life where I'm ready any time, any day, any moment to talk to my Heavenly Father. Yes, there is that going into the closet, that is essential. But even when you come out of that closet, you are still in the attitude of prayer and ready to pray and to intercede. Because dealing with those doubts, that is where it starts. It starts on your knees before God, as God exposes that there are doubts and unbelief that are working and oppressing in my life. And so as God begins to work with you, and as He begins to call you out of that comfort zone, you've got a prayer life. And in that prayer life, you'll be able to talk with God, and you become aware of what He's doing. You see, prayer makes you very sensitive. It makes you very open. You hear what God is saying. You hear what God is saying to the church. And fourthly, if I'm still questioning, there are clear signs of unbelief that is working within me. We're told to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Well, if I'm questioning God's faithfulness, His word, if I'm still questioning about God's provision, whether it be for my finances, whether it be for my family, protection over my house, whether it be for those bills that are to be paid at the end of the month, whether it be for my health, God providing, looking after me, if I'm still questioning, there are still doubts attached to that. And therefore God has to bring me out of my comfort zone, out into a promised land, to walk by faith, to deal with those. It doesn't take a lot of discernment, and it shouldn't come as a shock, even though it does. Often that shock is just that we're offended. That's all that is, emotions. I'm upset. Sometimes we're upset because we've been in the walk now for 20 years. And it's about time I should have got this right. Well, God's humbling you. He's humbling me. Maybe you should have got it right. But the fact is, God knows we're human. And He knows each one of us and how He works that deliverance. He knows our human frailty, doesn't He? And that's the love and mercy of God. But if I'm still questioning, there's still clear signs of unbelief that is working, and therefore they are doubts, and I can't close those doors yet. I've tried in my strength, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done everything I know to do, and yet I can't close those doors, just won't close. And the enemy knows it, and some of us are still at that stage, still some areas. And I tell you what, all your problem is, you're still questioning. Still the intellect, the mind, is trying to be in control. I know best. And that's called pride. But stay with it. Endure. And God says, I'll deal with it. But it will mean that you've got to step out in the unknown. You've got to move away from feeling comfortable into an area where you're going to trust me. Because that is where your real deliverance comes. That is where my deliverance comes. Fifthly, have you paid the price for that step of faith? That is where you have to be honest. Have I paid the price? Now, something might shock you here. Peter stepped out of that boat when Jesus said, come. The reason he sunk, he hadn't yet paid the price for that step of faith and its cost. But God didn't let him go, didn't let him sink, didn't let him drown. God was teaching him a lesson. He was trying to do it in his own strength. He was trying to step out of that comfort zone into that walk of faith, but he was doing it. And this is where the faith teaching and message has gone wrong with a lot in the past. If you want a step of faith, and maybe next week a step of faith is required in your walk, whatever nature it may come, the question you need to ask and be honest with God, have I paid the price, Father, for this step of faith that is to be taken? If I haven't, then in your mercy and grace, I don't take it until it's ready. For faith will know. Now only the humble will know that, who humbly walk before God. Because taking a step of faith is not because I've seen someone else do it, or because it's expected of me in the assembly, or I've heard a stirring message today, so right, come on, I'm going to act my faith now. I've seen it, we've said it, we've all done it, I'm going to act my faith now. You know, and you fall totally flat on your face. Why? You had not paid the price for that. There's a price attached to every promise. There's a price attached to this walk. Salvation, faith is free but not cheap. And every step of faith I take for the glory of God has cost me. And often that cost, to us that is, waiting, endurance, learning, deliverance, need I go on? They're all the aspects of the Spirit working with us for those steps of faith. That is why when you see a saint who is blessed, who takes a step of faith or a manifestation of healing, I rejoice. I praise God because I know that was not cheap. That has cost. There's been no shortcuts to that. That's why we should be able to rejoice and praise God with our brothers and sisters of a step of faith or a blessing or whatever it would be. Have I paid the price? And only you can answer that. And some who have not been prepared to pay the price, I'm going to say it as it is, whether it offends or not, they're no longer here with a seat in this place. Sixthly, finally, the word faith, if you like, is the principle which opens you up to Christ and seeking Him and Him alone. That is really what faith is about. Faith opens me up to receiving my Heavenly Father. When you receive the Son, you receive the Spirit, you receive the Father. You cannot separate. This is why even in prophecy, and that prophecy that I needed to prophesy this morning was revelation for this understanding in this teaching this morning. Sometimes the Spirit will work that way. But when I open up and receive this word, I am receiving my Father. I am simply receiving Him. He is the promise. When I see healing, He is the healing. When I receive promises of finance or the salvation of my family or whatever it is, that is Him I'm receiving into that situation. Not just a mere word, but that is him. And that has come from him. Can I take it a step further? When I receive God, when I receive his fullness, I receive him, I receive his creation, his word. I receive what he spoke into being. When I receive him, that was me that he spoke into being. Look at the revelation of receiving the word of God. That is why we don't receive bondage, sickness, disease, unbelief, doubts. That so many of our brothers and sisters and Christians are compromising on. No wonder it grieves the Father's heart. Of his fullness you have received. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in his fullness in me, in body. In this weakness that he's raising up in strength. In weak flesh. Wow. And then not only that, but that he can do the same and more for me. What he did in his son, he'll do for you and more. For he's already gone to the Father, sits at the right hand. The very faith that he walked with is the same faith you walk with. The very same commitment and work of the Father and love of the Father for you was the same for him in his flesh. No different. For you are one with him. You see, his word makes me listen to him and wait on him. And that's precisely what he's doing this morning. This word, his word, brings me back again to him, where I belong. And it reveals to me his will, his revelation, in order to act upon it. Because faith has to be acted upon. And why? All for his glory. That's why. All God sees this morning here is his glory. This is all about for his glory. And because it's for his glory, he'll do all the rest that is needed to glorify his name. And so if it means you go through a trial for a season, that is to glorify his name. If I'm to live my life this way for the rest of my days until the Lord takes me home, that is for his glory. If I'm to go and live on an island on my own for the rest of my life, that is for his glory. And we're not to question it. You're not to question your circumstances. You're not to question where you are. You're not to question this day. Or what I'm about to leave this meeting to go back home to. We're not to question it. And God knows. And let's face it, praise God in his mercy and grace, our circumstances don't last that long. They do change. Dealing with those doubts. Well, I'm going to raise that question now after giving that. Can you deal with those doubts? No. But he who is in you can. And as long as you take those doubts very, very seriously, then God also will be serious with you and mean business with you, and he will deliver you and he will deal with them. See, God meets us. That's the nature of covenant. To the degree of understanding and revelation of covenant, God will meet us the same. So God has to reveal this covenant he's made with us. And that covenant is him. And so as he unveils, and as he reveals more and more and more, so that enables me to move out of my comfort zone and to move into the realm and walk of faith where I meet God and he meets with me halfway. That's why he called Abraham, because he had to make a covenant with Abraham, didn't he? But he wasn't going to make a covenant with Abraham back in Ur. He had to walk out and meet God halfway, and that was a walk of faith. And so that is how it is. And so as you deal with doubts and you allow God to start to deal with them, unbelief, so God says, right, he'll show us more, but he says, you've got to come and meet with me. And as you take that step of faith, so God meets with you right there, and you meet together. And that is what sustains you, and that's what stops you from sinking in the water. And Peter didn't see that. He had to learn that after denying the Lord, because the Lord knew he was going to deny him. And so that step of faith he took out of the boat, he hadn't paid the cost yet, the price. Because the Lord's promises are always there. They're always there. But you've got to see covenant in those promises. And you meet him then halfway. And you come together in that agreement. And that is where manifestation is. That is where miracles are. And everything. These saints that walk by faith, and when they laid hands upon the sick, they recovered, they were healed. When they spoke the word and demons came out, or the dead were raised, that was all about covenant. That was all about coming out of the comfort zone, but meeting God halfway. And they knew that whatever they would say, whatever word they'd be done, God would do it, because it's there in the covenant. But the price was paid. And you can pay no greater price than to lay your life down if it were required. And that is how doubts are dealt with. Can you come to a place and walk and in ministry where doubt is the last thing? Doubt? What are you talking about? Doubt? How could you doubt when God's present here? Can he do that? Can he work that? Can he bring me, you, to that place? Why, sure he can. Because God doesn't doubt himself. He doesn't doubt himself. Well, there we are, dealing with those doubts. If you're still not sure, well then, get back into the faith book. There, Brother Freeman has given some very basic teachings there, but very powerful teachings about dealing with doubt, unbelief. But if you've got doubt, unbelief, well, praise God, acknowledge it, talk it out with the Lord, but you've got to come out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to take a step of faith to get deliverance. Amen. Father, again this morning, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that as we embrace your word, we have you, we embrace you. Father, we believe you can and you will do it. For you are a miracle working God. But we are aware that there is a price attached to every step and walk of faith. But that is what makes it genuine. That is what makes it real. And that is what glorifies your name. And so, Father, please continue working with us. We are, Father, at times slow of hearing, dull of understanding. Sometimes there is that stubbornness. We just don't want to move on. We want to stay where we are. But we have to grow up. We have to mature. And so, Lord, I pray that you will forgive us. You'll have mercy on us. Lord, make us aware, diligent, whatever it takes, that we may move on to the next phase that you have for us. Thank you for bringing us here today, to bring us to your word, to receive that change, that deliverance. I thank you, Father, that you still keep us with the faith and the deeper life. You will not let it go. And I truly thank you for that, Lord, when so many have just let it go and just gone back to dead religion. Works. Oh, Lord, words cannot express enough the joy and gratitude that we have in our hearts. Lord, we so truly love you, and we want that love to be translated into obedience, into deeds and actions. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name.